Take your Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 17, if you will, please. Join me in John 17. Imagine if we met for the first time. I met for the first time a dear lady over here. Her name is Sharon. Where'd she go? She was just right over there. Oh, there you go. You moved on me. Okay. She told me a few things about herself, and I associate that with Sharon. I'm not gonna pick on you and your last name and where you are. I'm not gonna tell all that, but I associate that with the name. Whenever we look into God's Word and we see how God has revealed Himself to us through His name and the names of the Lord, when we see that and we see that God has on purpose, He has distinctly revealed things about His personality, about His nature, about how He responds to people, about what He can do and what He wants to do in our lives. And we see all that in the study of the names of God. So, please do not think that this is just merely study hall for Bible trivia time. Okay? That's not what this is about here. And tonight we're going to look at two names. We're going to look at two names for God. And before we do, I'd like us to look at John 17 at the Lord's Prayer. You say, well, the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Like, that's the Lord's Prayer. No. That's the Lord teaching how to pray. Teaching how to pray. But in John 17, we have recorded Jesus' words when he was praying. But let's not skip over that thought about the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, hallowed be thy name. Reverenced. Boys and girls, look at me right up here. Boys and girls, let me see your eyeballs. Let me see your eyeballs right here, okay? Boys and girls, you're going to hear people that maybe on the playground, you're going to hear people on TV, you're going to hear some friends, you're going to hear some people, and they're going to say, they're going to take God's name in vain. They're going to use God's name in a way other than in worship, or other than in telling of what the Bible says about Jesus, about God. Please do not repeat that and make that part of your vocabulary. Don't say God for any reason unless you're talking to him or you're talking about him. Don't use him as a punctuation mark. OK, the Bible says that plainly. The Ten Commandments. So boys and girls, don't do that. John 17 and verse 3, the Bible says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Folks, if we're going to have eternal life, it only comes through knowing God, and we can only know God through Jesus Christ in a very personal way. But in the Old Testament, God revealed some things about himself. And I'm going to ask the Lord to do that here tonight. I'm going to ask him to reveal himself to us this evening. And maybe you might just be able to walk out of here with one new thing about God that you didn't realize, that you hadn't really picked up on in the Word of God. And maybe the Holy Spirit will turn on the light of your heart and your mind. And you can say, boy, I serve a great God. Didn't know everything about him. And we'll spend an entire lifetime and all of eternity getting to know the omnipotent God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these boys and girls. Thank you, Lord, for their work every Thursday night. I thank you for the workers who assist them, moms and dads, you bring them. And I pray, Lord, that at a young age that they will come to know you as Jesus talked about in John 17 in life eternal. And Lord, speak to our hearts now and help me, I pray, put a guard upon my mouth. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit lead us to fall in love with Jesus Christ anew and afresh. And we ask these things in his name. Amen. The Bible says in Philippians 3:10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The Apostle Paul said that there in Philippians. He had been preaching and preaching the word of God. And he had been planting churches all through Asia Minor and throughout and was on his way to Rome. And he said that I may know him. How many years had he walked with God? And before he got saved, before he met Jesus Christ, he studied the Old Testament. Some of the best teachers, Gamaliel, and sat at his feet, and some of the best teaching of the Old Testament. And he said, I want to know you, Lord. Sometimes people come to church and they slide in at 10:01, 10:02, you know, Sunday morning. They get here and they slip out at the first chance at the end of the service, and they say, wow, that's all I can handle. The Apostle Paul, he said, I want to know more. That should be our desire, to know more about Jesus. Psalm 20 verse 7 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. So here's the first name. Here's the first name for tonight. Here it is. Elohim. Elohim. Can you say that with me, please? Elohim. Now, the first time that this name is ever used is right in the very front of your Bible. If you want to flip over there to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, what is it? God. If you were reading in the Hebrew, you would read the word Elohim instead of God. In the beginning, Elohim. Now, in this thought of, this is one of the most common, not the most common use of the name for God. Over 2,000 times in the Old Testament. That's a lot. That's a lot. Usually translated God as you have it typeset. And it's interesting, the first part of that word El, it's a compound. The first part, El, is a generic reference to God. And it has the idea of mighty, strong, from where we get the word almighty. Almighty. And then some of you may recognize the name Superman. Anybody recognize the name Superman? Anybody? These boys and girls do, I'm sure. Some of you who maybe have been aware of that, you watch some cartoons or something, you would say, yeah, and his real name is Kal-El, they say. Kal-El. And they say he's of the house of El. E-L. The house of El. Notice that the world understands what this means. You know, I believe that the Antichrist is going to be somebody who's going to be a superman. He's going to claim that he is mighty, that he is almighty, that he is God, and he will be worshipped by the world. And so we find that there in the first part of Elohim. And then the second part of the word, the him part of the Elohim, this is very significant. It is the plural ending, of the word. So you have God and plural, the Almighty God. Say, wait a minute. So do we serve more than one God? No. Jot down this reference. It'll be a help to you. Deuteronomy 6:4. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, and that's the word Jehovah that we studied last week, the Lord, Jehovah, our God, Elohim, is one Lord. Now you might say, well, how would we know that, preacher? You know, I don't know Hebrew and all that kind of thing. You don't have to. See, God made it so simple for all of us. If you're in Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 26, if you will, please. In verse 26, and God, Elohim, said, let, what is it? Us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and of the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over. Okay, so who is God talking to? We know that the angels don't create. You see, in the same chapter, God made it very clear and very plain that there's a trinity here of personality, of nature. And we don't understand that. And yet we ourselves are that. He made us in His image. What you see right here, this is my body. Okay, it's encapsulated in skin. Some of it is open. Some of there's openings there. You got a mouth, you got a nose, you got ears, you got eyeballs, you know, eye sockets. But pretty much, I'm pretty much encased in skin, and this is my body. And then there's a thing inside me, a soul. And these are my emotions, my will, my mind. Now, you don't see that, but you see the effect of my soul. If I'm happy, I'll probably be smiling like we talked about this morning. If I'm sad, I might have a long face. I might speak somberly. You hear my soul. And God made us body, soul, and according to our verses that we read this morning in our scripture reading, in our bulletin this morning, body, soul, and what is the last one? Spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. And God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a spiritual soul. You see, animals, you can tell when an animal is happy, when a dog is happy, what's he do? He wags that tail. By the way, I read somewhere that as some missionaries were trying to translate that word joy into their language, they had no word that would even come close to that. No word that would make sense. And so the missionaries, in order to try to help them understand, they go to their heart language and they try to help them grasp the spiritual truth in their language. And so the only word that they could use was a word that was the word of a dog wagging his tail. They knew that the dog was happy. There was down within his soul, his being, joy, joyful. And this thought of I don't know where I got off on that, but anyway, I was going somewhere good with it. But God said, let us make man in our image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, a triune God. He made us a triune being, and we're a living soul. Colossians 1:16, the Bible says, for by him, by Jesus, were all things created. They're in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him. So Jesus was involved in creation. God the Father is involved in creation. We find in Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit was involved in creation. Elohim. Elohim, the Almighty Creator God. Is anything too hard for him? He spoke and it came into existence. As we're studying about God and about the names of God, his first name, Elohim, he is the Almighty God. I'm glad that our president is not ashamed to name him as Almighty God. I understand that he named him again in a speech, and I'm thankful for that. I was trying to find that speech and trying to find it online. And I just Googled President Trump, Almighty God. And I thought maybe I might find that. And I found something else. Just three hits down, I found a 3.5-minute video where they took what President Trump had said about God and the Bible and prayer and our dependence upon him and God's blessing on this country as we follow him. And I mean, 3.5 minutes of nothing but that. And I was shouting time that we have someone in the White House that is not perfect, that has problems, has warts on him like me, you know. But he's willing to confess and humbly say that God's in control. So here, as we're looking at this name, Elohim, say one more time, boys and girls, Elohim. Hey, I heard you. One more time, boys and girls, one more time, Elohim. That means Almighty Creator God. Now, the Almighty part, that's in the definition. But in the introduction of God, the law of first mention is very important. And when God introduced this name, it was in the creative power of God. So boys and girls, he made you just like he wanted you to be. You're special. You are unique. There's no one like you. Look at your thumb. Look at your thumb right now. You know, no one has a thumb just like yours. No one has a voice just like yours. God made you special. And he has a purpose for your life. He's the Creator God. Next, Elohim is our first name. And our second name is El Elyon. Can you say that? El Elyon. Turn with me, please, to the first presentation of this name in Genesis 14. Genesis 14, Abraham is introduced to El Elyon. Now, these are just names for God. My name is Pastor Sears. My name is Mark. My name is John Mark. My name is John Mark Sears. There are some names that, no, okay. And I'll respond most anything, just don't call me late for supper, all right? I have a name of husband. I have a name of father. I have a name of papaw. Okay? I have a papaw name. And when someone says papaw, boy, that head turns around and starts looking. Because it might be one of mine. Okay? All kinds of different names referring to me. And all of those bring out a different relationship that I have to those who know me by that name. When someone says, John Sears, I know that's either the medical field or the police or something, because that's my first name. And hardly anybody calls me John. If someone calls me Mark, then they probably know me. You know, they know me pretty well. If someone says Pastor, boy, that's somebody in the church, you know. And so with this idea of knowing these different names for God, let's look, please. El Elyon, Genesis chapter 14. And if you'd look with me let's see here. And by the way, this name is used 28 times in the Old Testament, not as many times, but it's a very powerful name. Look at verse number 17, please. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shava, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Now, hold on there. That, the Most High God, that is El Elyon. Let's read on. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave them tithes of all. Over and over we have this name, Most High God. Now this Most High God is the God that's in control. He is the ruling God. He's in charge. Now here's what some people think. Some people think that that God, if they're going to accept the fact that God created the heavens and the earth, and by the way, fewer and fewer people are willing to accept that and believe that. Fewer and fewer people. Because you say something long enough and loud enough, more and more people are going to believe it. And it's being proclaimed and preached by scientists and teachers and all throughout our nation, all around the world, in billions and billions of years, and all that kind of thing. But folks, I'm so very thankful that we have a credible faith. And when they teach evolution and all that kind of thing, unfortunately, they're trying to teach it as fact. I wish they'd at least be honest and call it a theory. I wish they'd at least be honest about that. Because you see, they're breaking their own rules of scientific law. But if someone accepts the fact that God created the heaven and the earth, then a lot of people think that he just steps back and he just wound it up, and then we have to do the best we can with it. No. You see, God wants to be active in your life. Boys and girls, he wants to be helping you every day of your life. As you study his word, as you memorize the Bible verses, as you sing your songs, when you go home, why don't you pray and talk to Jesus? You know what? He wants to hear from you. Moms and dads, he wants to hear from us. He wants us to commune with him. He is the Most High God. He is sovereign. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34 and 35. This is the passage talking about King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. Now, if you were in Sunday school, you heard about Babylon. And you saw the video presentation about prophecy and all of that. Nebuchadnezzar was the world ruler of his day. He was in charge of every empire. I mean, every king answered to him in the entire known world at that time. He thought that nobody could touch him. He thought that he was hot stuff, and he made, you know, an image unto himself, you know, and everybody had to bow down, and he was on the biggest ego trip known to man, and God took him down. And for 7 years, he made him just kind of lose his mind. And they had to put him in a pasture, and he ate grass like an oxen. And he was just mean and wild, and his fingernails, he grew and all that kind of thing. 7 years. Here's the ruler of the world. And the Bible says in verse Daniel 4:34, you might want to jot down that reference. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, this is his testimony afterwards. I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praise and honor to him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? In other words, I thought I was in charge. He's in charge. El Elyon is in charge. The Most High. He calls him. That means that he knows what's going on in our life. He knows, and he's watching, and he sees when no one else is around. El Elyon, he's a sovereign ruler. He's in charge. With this thought, the sovereign ruling God, Isaiah 14:24, jot down that reference if you will. Isaiah 14:24, the Bible says, the Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Just like that Sunday school video that we saw today. That's past prophecy. What God has said is going to take place is going to take place. He has a 100% accurate track record. He's in charge. Boys and girls, when he says, this is what I want you to do, you better do it, because he is the sovereign ruling God. El Elyon. 28 times he's called that. If he was called it once, it's worth our attention. But 28 times he reminds us that he not only made us, and he made us unique, but he wants to be involved in your life. And he has the power to make it all happen. That's El Elyon. Can you say that name with me, please? El Elyon. Now, I know that we're not Hebrew scholars here. I understand that I'm not. But what you have here, every time you see the Most High God, you don't have to know that. You have to just realize that when it's translated that way, the Most High God, it is saying El Elyon. The sovereign ruling God. You can know with certainty that nothing occurs in this world. Nothing occurs in our life. Nothing occurs in the angelic realm. Nothing occurs in the demonic realm. Nothing occurs without the permission slip of El Elyon. The Most High God, the Lord of hosts. He is the one who is in charge. So when you go to him in prayer, when you bow your head, you say, now, Lord, I don't know what to do about this decision, but you are El Elyon. You're the sovereign ruling God. I'm going to trust you. And you revealed yourself in this way. You wanted me to know this about you. So, Lord, I submit and surrender myself to you. There's nothing magic about invoking his name in Hebrew. Nothing magic about that. You're not doing an enchantment, you know, or anything like that. But what you are doing is you're acknowledging who he is. You have studied his name and you're hallowing his name. And you're saying, Lord, I surrender to you and I expect you to act. I know that you can. I pray that you will. And Lord, I will praise you for it. That is an interactive relationship with a living God. That's what he wants. That's what he wants for each and every one of us. It's a step of faith. And if you don't go back into the Old Testament and you study about his nature, and you study what he has revealed about himself, you're going to be kind of missing some wonderful, beautiful things. Lord Jesus, I thank you that these are all descriptions of who you are. Because you said, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. And you said, I and my Father are one. So, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us to surrender our heart and our life to you anew and afresh. You knew that we needed to see God with skin on. So you became flesh. So that we would have an image in our mind and heart of how you loved people, how you met their need, and how you died on the cross, and how you rose again from the dead. I pray for every mom, dad. I pray for every grandmother and grandfather, great grandparents, and every boy and girl and teenager. Lord, I pray that even these two names, that you are the Almighty Creator God, Elohim. Nothing is too hard for you. And that you are the sovereign ruling God, El Elyon. Lord, you're sovereign over our life. And you rule everyone around us. And you rule the angels, and you rule the demons, and you rule Satan. And you're in charge. Lord, may we encourage our hearts in that. That you love us. Help us to love you in return. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. There may be someone here that does not know God because you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Won't you decide to follow Jesus tonight? Might be a mom or dad. Might be a youngster. But if you would say, preacher, I've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive my sins and to save me, but I want to do that. Why don't you pray and ask Jesus right now? If he would speak to your heart and he's drawing you to himself, would you pray and ask Jesus to save you right now? Would you pray something like this? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I pray that you would forgive my sins and save my soul. Lord Jesus, take me to heaven when I die one day so I can live with you forever. In Jesus' name I pray.